now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone. Deep within the vortex of the information revolution, coming to you live from the North Dallas Metroplex in the state of Texas on this beautiful, beautiful sunny August 9th, 2017, Wednesday. You know, one of the things that really irritates me, even more than when I post an article or I post my podcast, which is an hour plus long, Monday through Friday, I immediately get a like. Well, how can you like something if you don't even know what I'm talking about? But what's even worse is when I post a podcast in the groups I'm in and somebody decides to give an opinion without even listening to the show. It can't get any more moronic than that. This week, I'm talking about the population issue. And somebody asked me, does this have anything to do with the population bomb of the 1970s? I wrote back, well, I have no idea. How about try listening to the show first? How about explaining what this population bomb of the 1970s is? How about giving me a synopsis? No, just throw me an article of a book. Not even an article. Send me a link to buy a book that was written in the 1970s. Instead of listening to the show and then offering an opinion. That's retarded. And then a few people were telling me, oh, the overpopulation issue is a scam, or you could fit everybody on Alaska. Well, who said I said the world was overpopulated? Excuse me, I haven't. I haven't said that. The theme of this week is quite the reverse. That we're going into a severe depopulation. And that there's a sector of the planet that population, even though, and I'll get to those numbers, even though the birth rate has decreased some, their populations are still exploding. Literally exploding. And due to that, we've been fed lies that, well, you know, we have to move these people into Western Europe. We have to move these people. Notice I said Western Europe because Eastern Europe refuses to drink the Kool-Aid. And they have to be moved to America and Canada in order to bolster the labor force, which, even though in America alone, we have the lowest participation rate of working ages. That's not people 65 and over, ladies and gentlemen. They're not counted. 18 to 54 is your typical labor force. 18 to 54, not retirement
age.
So, that's a lie. There are way more people than jobs. And simple economics, if demand stays constant, and let's call that request for workers, but supply increases, people available to work, then naturally salaries decrease. It's natural. And I've shared this example before. If I'm starting my own business and I need 10 people in order to run it, and I offer a certain package. Let's say I put in an advertisement. Let's just say $12 an hour, 1 week vacation after working a full year, and no matching 401k, no retirement. And I get, and I need them. I need to start filling the staff, let's say within 2 weeks. Let's say only 9 reply. Do you think I need to sweeten that deal a little bit? Do you think, in order to, and what if those 9 people, what if out of the 9 people, 5 people actually qualify for what I'm looking for? So going into my business, I'm half-staffed. Does it not make sense that I need to give out my employment package a better one? But what if 40 people apply? And what if after the first round of interviews, 15 people are good enough? Well, I fill my 10 slots with what I've offered. Down the road, my business is doing well. I'm able to expand. I need 10 more people. Knowing the state of the economy and the fact that the country I live in is just being flooded with immigrants, legal or not, no matter where they come from, the supply pool has increased. Do you think not only do I not have to make my employee package more desirable, doesn't it make sense? I could offer for the next round of people $10 an hour and no vacation? Because if I get 40 more applicants, dollars to donuts, I'm going to find 10 people desperate enough to take what I'm offering. Do you understand? So people that say bringing in immigrants to the country doesn't damage wages, that's a lie. It's a total lie. It defies all logic. Logic is thrown out the window. It totally blows out economics 101. Surplus of goods without an increase in demand drops prices. Case closed. So then what happens is, as young people grow up, they get used to living basically a subservient lifestyle. You see, that wave is coming, folks. See, we fell in love with the material age in the 80s. We did that. And we expected more, and we got more. Why? Especially in the computer industry that I'm in, there were actually, you could almost say, I don't have the exact numbers, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'll rephrase what I was going to say. There was easier access to jobs here in the States in the computer industry than there was now. There was more choice. Companies that needed info technology in basically every country in the computer age needs info technology, had their own IT department. Then, through NAFTA and GATT, they all got the idea of, hey, we could actually turn our IT division from a loss into a moneymaker. How do they do that? They outsource to companies like IBM, like Hewlett-Packard, and so many others at the time, which now we're just down, really, to just IBM and maybe EDS, HP, maybe. I don't even know what their market share is. So they would pay a lot more per hour to IBM, but they didn't have to pay benefits. They didn't have to match retirement. In the long run, paying a flat fee of $100 an hour to IBM to supply a worker bee, and then IBM turns around and pays $30 an hour to an American who he then phases out, sends the job to India, and is maybe paying $10 an hour. So everybody wins. The company that outsourced their IT division to IBM, they win. IBM wins by charging $100 an hour incoming, right, and sends the job out, farms it out to, let's say, India for $10 an hour. They win. Who loses? The American people. So then you have somebody with a master's degree, and he's got to maybe start looking for jobs at U-Haul. See what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a total collusion between government and the mega corporations to put everyone on that even playing field that Barack Hussein Obama, whose reported father comes from Kenya. So yeah, there's a level playing field. The playing field for you and me has been leveled. In other words, destroyed. And everyone is aghast over this so-called booming economy. Oh, the economy is booming. Oh, look at all the millions of jobs created under Donald Trump. Oh, the economy is soaring. Is it? Is it really? Here's one thing that I have not been able to find. And I've looked, and I've looked, and I've looked. I cannot find the average hourly rate of these new jobs being created. Now, someone on Facebook last week, out of thin air, told me the average wage is $16 an hour. Now, he did not back it up with any data or anything, just a sentence. It's $16 an hour, and I couldn't find it. Let's assume, based on nothing, based on no references, based on no sources, based on no videotape, nothing. Let's assume he's correct, and it's $16 an hour. Well, before taxes, that's $6.40 a week. Typically, outside of a few exceptions, there are 4 weeks to a month. That turns out to be, according to my calculations, $25.60 a month before taxes. Let's say someone's in the, and this is only federal, not even counting state tax. Let's just pretend it's like Texas or Florida where there are no state taxes. let's say they're taxed 10%. Let's just say. Take off $256 off the top of my head, you're down to about $2,280 a month, give or take. $2,280 a month. You want to throw in rent, food, maybe a car payment, car insurance, health insurance. If you're renting, and if you're renting in a complex, they demand you get renter's insurance. Renter's insurance. Let's just say, I don't know, you want to watch TV in your spare time. The average cable bill is what? $100? Give or take. Gotta have a cell phone, right? Gotta have a cell phone. The average, what? I mean, you could get a real cheap one. I've got Boost for $45 a month. So, let's say 50. Gotta have Wi-Fi, right? Gotta have internet access. So, let's say you use AT&T. Average cost is 50, 60 bucks. The average person, even eating minimally and having a decent diet, and you throw in your coffee, you throw in your occasional soda, you cannot escape $100 a week. You can't. Unless you're going to Walmart and you're eating crap. Like I said, a halfway decent diet, you're spending $100 a week just on you. That's the reality. You got to drive to work. You got to get gas. If you're fortunate enough to live in Texas, right now it's bouncing, depending upon where you are, anywhere between 190-ish all the way to 230. What if you're driving 40 miles a day round trip? You're close to filling up that tank once a week. That might cost you $45 a week. That's $180 a month. You need oil changes. It's inevitable at some point you're going to need tires. Are you getting the picture? I didn't even talk about rent and utilities. I want to know who the hell can live a decent life on $2,300 a month. I want to know their names. I want you to present to me how you're living. You can stay anonymous. I don't want your address, but you could send me a picture of your home if you're telling me the truth. You could tell me a picture of your car. You can redact all the vital information to show me the figures. You could even put it in an Excel spreadsheet and send it to me, the truth zone 27, that's 27, at gmail.com, and you could tell me how you're making it. Now, that's just you on your own. Let's throw in a wife, and let's say she's making the same thing. So, okay, $4,500 a month. Throw in a couple of children. I want to know how you're making it. I want to know how you're making it. And let's not forget, the divorce rate is like 60% now. That's the first round. Don't even ask me what the second and third rounds are. Yeah, and the common denominator to that are different philosophies of parenting and putting the cart before the horse. I mean, the horse. Yeah, the cart before the horse. Yeah, I'm not even going to get into it. So let's pretend that the couple is having their first marriage and they're going to stay married. Let's pretend. I want you to show me how on $4,500 a month you're leading a decent life. Show it to me. I don't think you can. So we're getting all excited about this alleged economy boom. Is it going in the right direction? Yeah, I mean, of course. I think it's good. But I am not getting an erection over this. Secondly, I have a somewhat small account. I have a few, but I'm talking about this one in particular with a certain brokerage house that I take care of myself, right? It's an online broker thing. I call my own shots. I decided to do an experiment because, you know, during the 8 years of Obama, we said, oh yeah, the Dow Jones is going up, but that doesn't mean squat. It's a phony number. And the jobs he's creating, oh, that's also fake because, well, the customer service jobs, McDonald's jobs, or waiter jobs. I mean, we all left. When the liberals said, oh, the stock market's booming, the stock market's going up, we criticized that, and rightfully so. Look at all the jobs Obama's creating, but look at all the jobs that are being lost, and they're low-wage jobs, which was true. But now, all of a sudden, we got the guy that we wanted to lead the football team. We got the quarterback we wanted. Well, now it's different. The Dow Jones hit the 22,000 mark. America's back. Oh, look, 209,000 jobs were filled. Oh, look, America's back. Oh, look, new jobless claims are at a five-year low or whatever it was. Oh, look, America's back. The unemployment rate, which we also laughed at, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Levin explained it beautifully, how it's a total lie and a misnomer. It was true under Obama that the 4.8, then 4.5, that was a false lead. But wait a minute. Our quarterback is under center now. The 4.3 number, that's real. And Sean Spicer, months ago, even had the audacity to say that was true. Yeah, the numbers that we saw under Obama were fake. But now that Trump is president, now they're real. And he said that with a smile. Now, I don't know if he was being sincere, or I don't know if he was being tongue-in-cheek, but I think that's a lot of audacity to say something like that. 8 years, we pounded the fake numbers, but now we've got the quarterback. Oh, they're real now. Well, let me tell you something. So let me go to the small brokerage account that I have. I decided to do an experiment. When Donald Trump won, I sold all of my individual stock except one. I took that money and I distributed it and I bought stock or shares, really, in every single sector that American businesses are in. So, I put money into the health industry. I put money into the technology industry, the finance industry, the manufacturing industry. So instead of individual stocks, IBM, Netflix, Amazon, I did sectors. So here's what happened. Donald Trump won, and the sectors took off. Long story short, I made $4,000 in 2 months. The country was euphoric. We won, and we did. We got the guy we wanted, and we did. But here's, folks, here's what happened. And I watched my account every single day. From January right to today, my account has basically flatlined. It has not grown. It's been a straight, for in all intents and purposes, a straight horizontal line. Now I ask you, what are you willing to believe? The Dow Jones number, which folks, it's just shares bought versus shares sold. That's all that is. It's not a dollar amount. The Dow Jones is not worth $22,000. All that number represents, and if someone can correct me if I'm wrong, please do. I don't have an ego like that. Please correct me. That 22,000 plus number only indicates since day one, when the Dow Jones was created, there were 22,000 plus more shares bought than sold in its history. That's all that means. When the Dow Jones is up one day, more shares were bought than sold off. If the Dow Jones goes down, like it did yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, I checked my account, that means more shares were sold off than were bought. So, do you want to believe the blind number of the Dow Jones that the liberals fed us for 8 years? Or do you think my experiment buying into every sector 10 months ago, watching it every day, seeing that the dollar amount in my account has basically flatlined since January to August 8th. Is that a better indicator of the economy? I think it is. If this economy was booming, with the money I have in it and all the ratios, it should be going up $1,000 a month. I should be up $10,000. If this economy was booming and the sectors were rocking. Instead, I have made virtually nothing since January. That is your economic boom, folks. And it's just a natural occurrence. The shiny new toy euphoria has worn off. The honeymoon, if you will, has worn off. We're now in a state of reality, and Donald Trump is a human being, just like the rest of us. Now, all right, you know, from a mechanical point of view, is he more special? Yeah, he is. His father was a multimillionaire, but a man that had principles. He just didn't hand Donald Trump the keys to the kingdom. He didn't gift Donald Trump $1 million. He loaned. That Donald Trump, Fred Trump Sr.'s son, was obligated to pay back. And he did. Donald Trump took that $1 million loan and he's made it into what it is today, a multi-billion dollar industry. Could anyone that was loaned $1 million do the same thing? Absolutely not. I don't believe I could have done it, and I'm not a stupid man. I'm stupid in some areas. I have a master's degree. I earned it legitimately. I have 156 IQ. It's been tested twice. But that doesn't mean that I have the vision of a Donald Trump or an Andrew Carnegie. It doesn't mean I have the drive or the intestinal fortitude, my reactions to pressure and all of that other stuff, my outlook, probably not as positive as Donald Trump. So, you know, with all those factors, could I have turned a $1 million loan into a $1 billion empire? Probably, most likely not. It's the same thing. Little Johnny, 8 years old, picks up a baseball bat. Little Timmy, 8 years old, picks up a baseball bat. 30 years later, one of them is flipping burgers. The other one is playing center field for the New York Yankees. Just how it is. Just how it is. We're not all created equal. We're equal in the eyes of God as far as Him loving us, but that's where it ends. On an applicable standpoint, we're not equal. Some are taller, bigger, faster, stronger, smarter, better outlook, better conditions being born into, smarter. All of it. Just how it is. Some guy on Google gets fired just because he told the truth. Men are better at women in sports, for the most part. Well, yeah. More muscle mass, more bone mass, equals more strength and speed. So, it doesn't mean on a philosophical level, men are better than women. We have different attributes. And he gets fired for that. Imagine, United States of America, 2017, you get fired for telling the truth. Oh yeah, we're in great shape. Great shape. You know, Donald Trump, I see tweets from him talking about North Korea and how we're so much stronger than them. And how they won't defeat us. Great. So I replied back on Twitter. I said, well, great. Hulk Hogan can beat up a midget wrestler. Oh, that's fine. That's real tough. Donald Trump tweets, America will always be the strongest country in the world. Yeah, well, what has that strength gotten us? Peace through strength. Not by Trump, but by someone else. Peace through strength. Yeah, that's what the neocons tell you. That's what that was Alexander Hamilton's philosophy. Beat the crap out of somebody and then stick your hand out in friendship. Oh yeah, that's gonna be very successful. Oh yeah. You come to my house, beat the ever-loving crap out of me, and then offer your hand in friendship. Well, to avoid another beating, I'll shake your hand and I'll say, okay, we're friends now. Oh yeah, I'm gonna love you. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have real amicable feelings for you. And in the privacy of my own home, in total confidentiality, oh yeah, I'm gonna praise your name in friendship, sure. What the hell has all of this military might bought us? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. 25 soldiers a day commit suicide. How many tens of thousands come home with PTSD, can't function in the real world, and because Muslim migrants and Hispanics flooding our borders, they're more important. We have veterans living under bridges. Oh, that's a freaking gift. We have our sons and daughters coming home in body bags or with no arms, no legs. And we call them heroes. We slap a medal on their chest and we say, thank you for your service. Matter of fact, there's a movie coming out. Either it's out now or it's coming close. Thank you for your service. Sure. The guy goes to Afghanistan or he goes to Iraq. and he does feats of heroism. Saves a couple of his buddies from being killed. Gets a medal. Big hero. Comes home. And again, these are just the coming attractions, so I don't know how it ends, but his family life goes to shit. He doesn't know that his daughter doesn't like chocolate, makes chocolate pancakes. He's got flashbacks and nightmares. You can see that there's not just parental tension, but there's spousal tension with his wife. Because he came home damaged goods just to defeat the terrorists. Really? We just got a report today that a truck steamrolled people in Paris again. Wow! It's been more than 2 weeks since I read off the usual Muslim attacks worldwide, and I haven't shared with you how many people have been blown up, because I've been preoccupied with other subjects, but don't think it's not taking place. Wow. The Iraqis regained Mosul. Yay! But it doesn't make up the other stuff. Now, I'll tell you what's going to help America. Something that Donald Trump is doing wonderfully. I'm seeing report after report that the percentage of illegal immigrants coming into this country, invading our borders, has drastically plummeted. Yes! Absolutely. There you go. See, it's not sending our sons and daughters 5,000 miles away and blowing up a bunch of Muslims over there that's going to make America safe. It's doing what the founding fathers obligated their generation and generations to time memoriam: protect the freaking borders from foreign and domestic invasion. So we will see if the Trump administration can continue the decrease in illegal immigrants from flooding our borders in time, not overnight, but in time, we will see the positive effects. I did a report on Arizona's SB state bill, which came into law 1070 years ago. Now, obviously, in a smaller demographic, a state, as opposed to an entire country, Arizona saw the benefits of sticking to their constitution and by default protecting the borders, really adhered to the federal constitution. They saw results virtually in the scheme of things right away. Hospitals reported a decrease in illegals coming into the emergency room and the hospitals being stiffed with the bill. Churches saw a decrease in illegals coming to church. You know why? Because they were leaving on their own. You see, the spigot was cut off. The welfare checks and the illegal employment was cut. You cut the source, you cut the flow of money. That's all it is. They'll leave on their own. You don't even have to do mass arrests. It's a good thing. I think it's a constitutional thing. I think that needs to be done. But in essence, you really don't even have to. Just cut off the welfare and the illegal labor force, and they leave on their own. So a state like Arizona saw effects and improvements a lot faster, ladies and gentlemen, than we will see as a country. But we will see them. And, you know, we as Americans have to do our part first, because there is some truth. Matter of fact, there's a lot of truth that, well, you know, Americans don't want to do the jobs that these migrants are willing to do. And there is truth to that. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm 52 years old, and I've had pretty decent success in my profession. Pretty decent. And I've had decent stuff. I have decent stuff. Would I be attracted to making Big Macs and asking what sauce you want with your chicken McNuggets? Probably not. But the problem is that our youth not only don't want to work, and actually that's really the byproduct. The real problem is that parents coddle and baby their children, give them a safety net, and of course the government helps, right? With, hey, you could keep your child on your child, on your health insurance until the age of 26. I'm sorry, you're 26 years old, you may be a child to your mama, but in society, you are a grown man or a woman. Which, by the way, the more people you have on insurance policies, but less payers to the policies, the premiums go up. Just to let you know. So when we coddle our children, and when we allow a laziness, a malaise to take place, yeah, it's true. They don't want to work. Well, there's no necessity. You see, necessity is the mother of invention. When your back is against the wall, when that safety net is taken away, you have to do something to get sustenance and shelter, or you're dead. See, that's what my grandfather faced when he came from Italy to New York in 1914 at the age of 19. You either found a way to produce money and exchanged it for food and shelter, or you were dead. Nope, we don't have that today. We have butt kissing and coddling and schmoozing, and we have a lazy youth. But I find it interesting, ladies and gentlemen, oh yes, the ones that had the chutzpah, the ones that had the drive, and they did things in their teenage years, they produced, they became successful adults. I'll share an example. We're getting solar power panels put on our roof sometime this month. Guy comes to our door. It's a relative, it's an offshoot of a bigger company. So instead of getting just a sales associate, we got the president of the company as he's expanding in our area and hiring sales associates. Very nice guy. And we've come to talk personally because he had to spend a lot of time over. He came over 3 times and was over at least an hour. And, you know, you get to talking. He was 12 years old. 12! Not even 15 or 16 like I was. 12! And his father says to him, well, you know, you're a man now. Now, I don't even subscribe to that. 15, 16? Yeah, you are. 12? Not so much. But, so his father says, you're a man now. You're going to get food, shelter, and new clothes for school every year. After that, You're on your own. So, think of ways to make money. So, the young 12-year-old thought about it. Looked at different things, saw different stuff. And he came with two suggestions to his father. His father listened, and he said, okay, well, how much do you think that's going to cost you? He had to go back and do the numbers. Business A was like at least triple of what the other choice was, which was washing people's windows. So his father said, well, all right, well, here's what I'll do. Do you have any money? No. He's 12 years old. Of course he's not going to have any money. The father said, well, tell you what I'll do. I'll loan you the startup money, but at interest. And if you don't pay me back within a certain amount of days, which, as I recall, it was 90 days, you're going to owe this amount. Does that sound somewhat familiar to the Donald Trump story? Yeah, a little bit, right? Well, this young man had to follow the plan, and he did. By the time he went to college, he had 10 other kids working for him. He actually turned it into a multi-employee business. Needless to say, long story short, he's a multimillionaire in the solar tech industry. He drives an awesome BMW, and I'm sure that ain't his only car. He owns a boat. He's got all the bells and whistles. I wonder what would have become of him if he just had his ass kissed and coddled his whole life. I wonder what he would look like. You see, folks, now, I didn't have a father to teach me that ingenuity. My mother told me at 16, you get three meals, you get a roof over your head, at 16, you're done. I didn't even get clothes anymore. If I outgrew clothes, and you're still growing at 16, that was on my dime. If I wanted a car, which who the hell doesn't want a car, I had to figure it out, which I did, and I had to pay my own car insurance. The only thing my mother did for me was because her brother worked for Allstate, she took out a car insurance policy. She didn't drive. And she put me as an added driver so I would get some money off as opposed to a 16-year-old, which I don't even know if a 16-year-old can get his own policy. I don't even know if he can. But that's the only break I got, was that I was put on as an added driver, but I had to pay the whole thing. And that taught me responsibility. And unfortunately, like I said, my family, the nucleus part of my family, weren't entrepreneurs. They were worker bees. So my ticket out of where I was living, not so great, was college. I went to college. I got the sufficient grades. I took the worker bee job. And it's basically giving me the short end of the stick. See, job is an acronym for Journey of the Broke. It's a good one, isn't it? Journey of the Broke. No, that's not mine. I got it from someone else. An entrepreneur, okay? So, but nonetheless, I was brought down to the post office at the age of 16, and the following Monday, I'm stocking shelves at the local supermarket. And it took me a year, and I had previously saved money from birthdays and Christmas, and I got myself enough money to purchase a rusted out 1974 Mustang II. Not even the real Mustang, I got the sissy Mustang. But it was mine. And I earned it. And I had pride in earning it. I walked to work for a year and a half. When I got my license in October, from September, I went to Catholic school. My mother didn't want to pay for the bus for a month. I had to walk 6 miles round trip in a suit for a month and a half until I got my license so I can drive my car to school and then to work. No, this is not a pity party. This is, it made a man out of me. It taught me responsibility and it gave me integrity. I'm very thankful. Conversely, when I got divorced, I walked away with two cars. My son came with me. He was 16. It was 2005. And I gave him my 2003 two-year-old car in perfect condition, Mitsubishi Lancer. Gave it to him. And all I said to him was, you're going to pay for your gas. You're going to give me money for insurance. I'm going to put you on as an added driver, just like my mother did. You're going to pay your... See, I had to pay my mother's name and my name. I had to pay the whole policy. He only had to pay the added driver part. And if the car needs an oil change, or you mess it up, you're going to pay for it. Fast forward, he destroyed the car in 2 years. The car was so bad, I had to give it away to a Christian charity. You know when you can do that? You can give your car away and they give you a tax deduction. Great. He had no pride in it because he didn't earn it. It was disposable to him. And that's the attitude a lot of our youth have. So there's some truth to the fact that, well, you know, we need all of these migrants because the Americans, and especially the youth, don't want to get sweat on the brow, don't want to do these menial jobs. There is some truth to that, but why? Why is that? Because the parents. There's no sense of necessity. There's no sense of live or die. See, it's safety and it's cute. Safe space and coddle and kissing and mwah, 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 mwah. So, that's how we as a people have allowed the globalists to skew truth and to actually warp elements of truth and turn it against us. But we've done it. We've created this construct. Not John McCain, not Mitch McConnell, not Paul Ryan, not Nancy Pelosi. Those people are just physical manifestations of what we, at some level, asked for as a people. I'm not saying you, the audience. And I'm not saying me, per se. I'm saying as a collective group, as a nation, we have asked, and now they're called actors. I love that. Because, indeed, all the world is a stage, right? See, I love how they groom us for this new age technocracy that is growing. You know, hey, it's an act, it's a show, it's a hologram, it's not real, it's fake. I'm not really hitting this table. The table isn't real. It's an illusion. So don't worry. Oh, you're fine. Don't worry. Don't have children. Be a homosexual. Be a transsexual. It's beautiful. Oh, it's an illusion anyway. You're depressed. You're broke. You're in turmoil. The ones that created and came up with this shit, they're loaded, baby. They've got the best women or the best men. They're having 4 or 5 kids in their families. Their families are taking over their industries. They've got yachts. They've got mansions. What do you got? Al Gore says, you've got to lower your carbon footprint. You're an evil human being. One of his houses uses 34 times of energy of what one average American house uses. But you the people, are the virus. In a way, he's right. You are a virus unto yourselves. You have given these people a name. You've given them a platform. You've done this. God hasn't smited us, nor has he sent Donald Trump to save us. Sorry, no. Enough of us, and thank God for the Electoral College. We put off, didn't save, we put off, delayed the globalist agenda, as opposed to if Hillary Clinton had won, we'd be on, still on, because Obama was part of the fast track to the Tower of Babel. And we just would have stayed on that fast track. Donald Trump has sort of derailed the train, but hasn't crashed it. The train is on 3 wheels, and it's like teetering. You know, the other side is bouncing off the other side. But it's not crashed. It hasn't flipped over. Yet. So, we, ladies and gentlemen, we have sole ownership of where we are. And you know, who didn't in the 80s and 90s? Who didn't do multi-level marketing? Who didn't do Amway? And then later, Yukonuba came. Herbalife was huge. I still hear it's a multi-million-dollar company. Who? I don't know one freaking person that buys Herbalife. I don't get it. How are they making millions? I don't get it. But whatever. In multi-level marketing, they consistently told us, whatever company it was, duplication is the key to success. So my wife says to me all the time, don't just bitch about the problems, offer a solution. She's right. She's 100% right. So in closing, but I want to close with the clip. Why some countries are poor and others are rich, and take some of that. Well, I'm going to have to cut into commentary. So you know what? Screw it. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. The secret to success is duplication. So here's my solution. How about when we have children, we duplicate what Donald Trump did and what that young man's father did, who's president of the solar panel company that's putting panels on our house. Why don't we duplicate that method? Now, 12 might be a little extreme. I dig it. But certainly 15, 16, I think we could all agree is a fair number. Maybe we should duplicate what they did. Since you look at their children, you look at Trump's children, you cannot deny that they're successful. And by the way, they're not just filing Donald Trump's stuff. They're movers and shakers too, folks. What's her face? Ivanka, brain cramp. She has her own cosmetic line. Donald and Eric, they're doing their own things, both separately and severally within the companies. Barron, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before he gets it. Look at Alex Jones. Alex Jones has a son named Rex, 13 years old. Now he's like 14, 15. Haven't seen him on the show in a long time. He had his kid sit at the front studio desk and do commentary. The age of 13 years old in a suit in front of millions of people worldwide on internet, TV, and radio. Do you think that kid is earmarked for success? Oh, yeah. The guy that sold us the solar panels, if he duplicates with his children what his father did with him, do you think his children are earmarked for success? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that young man's children are going to do very well. Barring incidents, of course, health and otherwise. They're going to do very, very well. Because they got that. Outside of shelter and food, they're not given. Whatever they want, outside of that, they have to earn. And they will take it with pride. It'll be their work and it'll be their money paying for their stuff. You better believe they're going to treasure it. And it doesn't mean that you have to obsess over it and make it your end-all, be-all, but you're going to take pride in what you earn because it's going to be instilled in you in a very early age. Now, there are some defective people that will be taught good values and they'll still fall. Well, that's humans. There are some that won't be taught anything, virtuous, and they'll excel. Sure. But percentage-wise, I think you people get the point. So I'm going to continue on tomorrow. I know this was a huge rant, sort of on the subject, 60% on the subject, and then 40% rant. But I think if you connect all the dots, they're all germane to the main topic of the population crisis and the shift that's taking place worldwide. I am your host, Michael B. Thank you for indulging my indulgence, if you will. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time.